good to see everybody. Today's message is, that's not my job. Now, how many of us thought of this sentence in our life? How many of us have said it, that's not my job? You know, my son, Jonathan, was home this weekend, and when he heard that I'm coming today, he says, Dad, what are you talking on? I said, that's not my job. He says, what? I said, that's not my job. He says, oh, you know, I hear it all the time in my office. He's been working for 3 years. He said, people say it all the time at work. I ain't doing it. That's not my job. Let somebody else do it, right? Well, Philippians chapter 2 talked about our Lord Jesus Christ. It said, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage, and took the nature, the very nature of a servant. Someone, Jesus, very nature God, instead took the very nature of a servant. He's God, but he became a servant. Servant to his Father, servant to men, you and I, and in that time, 2,000 years ago, to men who are poor, destitute, without education, afflicted with disease, men without hope, a most lowly status. From God, up in heaven, all the riches and glory and power became man. Lower than man, because he was the servant of a very low status of man. Not the teachers, not the Pharisees, but rather. So he came to serve to every sinner, to everyone who came to him in faith. He served with love, compassion, and without prejudice. So for Jesus, his life is a life of serving. Him being very nature God, made himself nothing, being made in human likeness. God, all the riches and power and glory in heaven, all the wealth we see on earth, all the riches, all the money, all the property, all the wealth combined is minuscule in God's eyes, right? He has all that, but he made himself nothing, a big fat zero, became human likeness. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. From infinite, immeasurable to nothing. How much did he sacrifice? Not only that, he was ridiculed, accused, disbelieved, rejected, suffered pain, humiliation. The pain and suffering and humiliation he suffered, it's thousands times, million times what we might encounter in our whole life. It's a life of sacrifice. Jesus' life, life of serving, life of sacrifice, and a life of submission, right? Submission to the Father, because he descended to be a very nature servant, to be made in human likeness, in obedience to his Father, in total submission. He finished his serving by suffering a painful death on the cross. I don't know how am I going to go one day, right? I'm getting older these days. But I don't want to think about how, because that's scary. And I just want to my wish, right? My wish and my prayer, my hope is I can live my life at home. Because I've seen many brothers and sisters, older brothers and sisters in New York, they would eventually get into a nursing home and they don't come out. Or a rehab center, they don't get a chance to come out. But for Christ, right, he not only died, he died a painful death on the cross. A death that is only for the very few, for the worst, the lowest of all criminals. That's his death on the cross. For who? For us. For you, for me. Obedient to death, not yet his will, but the Father's will be done. So he not only served the lowest of mankind, sinners. He not only sacrificed in everything and suffered. He died because he submitted to his Father. Died on the cross, shame and humiliation. Now today is 3 weeks. 3 weeks to Easter. So in Mark 10, Matthew 16 and Luke 18, I want to read a compilation. They were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed. He must be killed. And the disciples were astonished. Those who followed him were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going to Jerusalem, like it or not. We are going to Jerusalem, he said. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They'll hand him over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. He was on the way to Jerusalem. He was going to fulfill everything that was written by the prophets about the Son of Man. And he was still explaining to the disciple. The disciples say, no, no, no. Lord, you can't do this. You're not going to do this. You're not going to die. He had to explain to them. He had to encourage them. He had to comfort them. He was still serving them in the most dire situation. He continued to serve. A life of sacrifice, right? Not just dying, but dying on the cross, being spit at. A lot of times we talk and, you know, someone saliva got in my face and I'm like, argh. Well, can you imagine being spit at, being mocked? And he's the Son of God. Being flogged, being insulted. This was all to be fulfilled, as written by the prophet, that he has to sacrifice his life. And a life of submission towards the end, at the end, right? He said, let your will be done. That I'm being delivered to the chief priests, the teachers, and condemned me to death. He never wavered on his mission. So, Jesus' life, life of serving, sacrifice, submission. I wonder about us. How do we look at our life? Because in Philippians, Paul said, have the same attitude, have the same mindset as Christ. So do we have that mindset? Now, some of my friends, they're in the 40s now. So that means that their kids are entering high school. And you know how Asian parents are. You know your parents. they said, oh, kids, they shouldn't sit around. They should learn something. They should learn how to earn money. So a couple of my friends, they started asking their kids to mow lawn. That's your job. You are going to make some money. You make $20. But your job is to mow the lawn. How many of you have to mow lawn at home? Oh, it's coming, I think. Okay. So, late last summer, I went to my friend's house. I looked at it. Oh, the lawn was freshly mowed. You could see because the grass clippings were there. The kid didn't, you know, after he mowed the lawn, he didn't remove the grass clippings. And, you know, you see the pattern. Usually you mow the lawn, it's this way, come back, right? And this lawn is like zigzag all over the place. So when he was doing it, his mind wasn't on like, he just like, want to get it done, right? $20. May I dare say, what is $20 these days? So he had to spend an hour, right? So his mind is probably thinking about, okay, what TV game I'm going to watch today? Or what video game I'm going to play? What are my friends doing, right? His mind is not on mowing the lawn. Fine. I walked up to the front door and I was like shocked because staring at me were three flower pots. No flowers in them. Scallions. They're weeds. They're like 15 inches long. They must have been growing months there. Now, can you imagine if you just mowing the lawn and you see these weeds growing? So, you know Uncle Felix, right? I tell it like it is. So I said, hey, Pete, I said, you know, why you're at this? You may as well, like, get rid of the weeds, right? It's so, like, unsightly. I always have I always get favorable responses from kids. So, but before I could, like, breathe and, like, anticipate his positive response. Yes, right away, Grandpa Felix. Now he's 13 year old. With a straight face, in a strong voice, self-righteous voice, he says, "That's not my job." I was shocked. Nobody ever talked back to me like that. That's not my job. At that moment, I didn't like the attitude. I didn't like the response at all. But then, maybe because his mom told him to mow the lawn, right? Didn't say clear everything. So I just wonder whether Pete isn't grow up and everything, his life, is a series of jobs. This job, that job, that job. Job not in the sense of making money, right? But rather, you put out an effort. And in return, you get some benefits, whether it's money, whether it's recognition, whether it's satisfaction. There's no sense of like helping other people. There's no sense of giving yourself, going the extra mile, doing the right thing. There's no sense of having a passion for something. You just want to do something because you're passionate about it. You just want to get the benefit. Now, before the adults, for those who are older, chastise Pete, right? We're the same way. For students, if you want to get a B, you study, put in a certain amount of effort in order to get a B. So often I hear, man, I really worked hard on this course. All I get is a B. I put in an effort for an A, and I got a B. It's not worth it. Next time, I'm not going to study that hard. So for Pete, right, $20, hey, it's $20 worth of effort you're going to get from him. If you want more effort, pay more. Now, I felt kind of bad because last fall, it's a bad witness. My son, John, was talking about like, man, I've been working long hours every day. Because now he's salaried, no longer hourly, he gets the same pay, right? No matter whether he worked 10-hour day or 8-hour day or 11-hour day, he gets the same pay. So one weekend he was home, I said, and he was talking about like getting home late. I said, John, they don't pay you enough to work so hard. I'm the same way. I felt very bad after the words came out of my mouth because that's a bad testimony. It's a bad witness for my son. And I just hope he took it that I'm joking. But I wasn't. That's my true feeling. And that's the wrong attitude. Or we compare with our friends. Well, our friends are so lucky because their parents never expect them to do any chores. And I had to do my parents wanted me to pick up, clean up my room. My room is fine. What's wrong with it? And then my parents would come into my room and clean it up. That bothers me. I had no privacy. I would trade parents with my friends' parents. Think about that. I'm sure some of the kids I know have thought about that. They all complain about Asian parents being so too hard, too demanding. You know, the grass is always greener elsewhere, right? But even at work, a lot of times we will feel like, how come I'm stuck with this difficult job? A thankless job, whereas my friend get away with doing very little all day. And whatever I do is thankless, and I don't get any recognition anyways. So where's our passion, right? Where's our passion? We always think that these are obligations, we're forced to do it to appease somebody, that we just do it to get people off our back or to fulfill whatever minimum requirement we have to do. Where's our passion? That we want to do the right thing, where we want to get the satisfaction out of something that we want to do, and we want to do it well. So, a lot of times, we fall in the trap of like not giving our best, but rather just going through the motion. So, where is our serving? Where is our serving heart? Do we look at life as effort and benefit? And not just as a trade-off, but the result of our effort would define whether we're successful or not. If we put in X amount of effort, we get X amount of benefit, we succeeded. It's not about giving your best. It's not about challenging yourself to do better. It's not about putting all the effort for a cause or a purpose. I hope Pete doesn't grow up to be like that. That's not my job. You walk around all day. That's not my job. That's not my job. That's not my job, because I don't like to do them. Why, you think Jesus liked everything that he did when he was on earth? For the short 30 years that Christ walked on earth, never once he said, that's not my job. He went through the regions, the towns, the villages, teaching in the synagogues, healing all the sick people. He never once lost his compassion. He never said, I'm too tired. This is almost midnight and there are like sick people coming to me. He never said like, let him be sick a little bit longer until tomorrow morning. Or he said, I'm too overwhelmed to have compassion on these poor people, because there are thousands of them. I can't deal with them. He never ran out of patience to teach and explain to his disciples, Because they don't understand. No matter how hard I explain to them in plain language, they don't get it. They're hard-headed. They simply do not understand. He never lost his compassion for the people that he was to serve. He never forgot his love for the people. Because to him, they are like sheep without a shepherd. And that's the mission he had, to care for every one of them, because the Father had given them to him. So to him, it's not a job. To him, it's not a responsibility or obligation, but that's the life of a good shepherd, to love his sheep. He never said, I, the Son of God, has all the glory and riches, and I came here, I have nothing to do with you sinners. To those of you who have leprosy, you are not worthy of me. Instead, he forgives all the sinners who come to him by faith. He said, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for money. The responsive reading that we just had. And his life was truly a life of sacrifice, because he was not even welcomed at home. When he taught in the synagogue in his hometown, the Bible said, people asked, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And the Bible says they took offense at him. He was always challenged. The Pharisee says, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? He was accused. They said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. And sadly, he was deserted by his beloved disciples. Because in John, after he said he was the bread, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. The Bible says, many disciples says, this is a hard teaching. We can't accept it. They turned back and they no longer followed Jesus. And at the end, he was rejected, right? The people chose Barabbas, the prisoner, to be saved instead of him, and they want Jesus crucified. So, his life was a life of service and also a life of sacrifice and a submission to the Father. At the end, he said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. And he died on the cross for our sins. So he came as a good shepherd, right? So that we can have eternal life and we can live it to the full. So let's not be like Pete, looking at things as jobs. And not just going through life saying, I'm going to do a good job with this. I'm going to do a job, good job with that, right? But think in terms of doing the right thing, doing something you're compassionate for God in your service, compassionate in your belief, in your walk with Him. Very easy for us to sing songs that are melodic, that we love, and we don't really pay attention to the words. You know, listen to what we sing. Listen to the words. Listen to the meaning. I surrender. What does that mean? What does it mean by surrendering to God? So have it to the full. Have your life to the full. It's not just going through life with a series of jobs. Getting whatever benefits out of your life. But rather, serve God the best you can, willing to sacrifice for Him, and be willing to submit to Him. You know, don't look for satisfaction in your grade, whether you get an A or a B. Don't look at don't get satisfaction from your paycheck when you go to work. Or don't look for satisfaction from praises from men. But rather, satisfaction in serving God, being a servant to Him, being a servant to brothers, sisters, being servant to your neighbors. Don't wait to be asked. Took the initiative to serve. And be willing to sacrifice, whether in your offering, whether in your summer short-term mission, right? As Pastor Nathan said, don't look at it as padding your college app, but rather you want to sacrifice your time and your summer for God's sake and live your life in full submission to God. Then you have lived your life to the full and you get satisfaction, the true satisfaction for yourself.